Say good morning to everyone. We're thankful to God to be here this day, and thank you for being here with us. And for those who may be tuning in via Facebook Live or YouTube or a conference call, you're welcome as well to our services. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're our personal VIP. We believe that in the Church of Christ that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to do it the way the Bible says do it. Is that right, y'all? This morning we want to talk about Abraham. God did tempt Abraham. If you haven't been saved, you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to know that you need to believe that he purchased his church with his blood. And that in order for you to be saved, you have to be baptized in water. And when you're baptized in water, you'll contact the blood of Jesus and it'll wash away your sins. And he'll add you to the only church agreed by in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. So I want you to listen carefully this morning. We talk about this lesson. This lesson is designed to help us all know that our faith in God will be tried. We're going to be tried enough. How many of you been tried before in your Christian walk? Yeah, trials going to come. Trials dark on every hand. Is that right?
Amen.
You may not understand how God going to get us to that blessed promised land. So we all been through trials, but your faith is being tested. But when you endure the test and you pass the test of faith, blessing comes with that. Let's look at Abraham this morning for a few minutes. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1.
And it came to pass after these things,
yeah,
that God did tempt Abraham.
You see that? That's my title right there. God did what?
Tempt.
He tempted Abraham. That word tempt means test. So God put the test on Abraham and said to him what?
And said to him, Abraham.
And he said,
behold, here I am.
So he said, I'm here. So God made the call. Abraham said, I'm here. Maybe somebody this morning going through something, your faith has been tested, and you're going to have to say, Lord, I'm here. In other words, you're ready to listen to what the Lord has to say. Listen to verse number 2.
And he said, take now thy son, uh-huh, thine only son Isaac,
uh-huh,
whom thou lovest, and yeah, get thee into the land of Moriah,
uh-huh,
and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of.
Now that's a tough test right there. God told him what a test this is. God told him, you take your only son and offer his life as a burnt offering. Wow, that's a tough test. But God is testing all of us. He's testing our lives. He's testing where we are in our lives. And there's a test of faith going on possibly for you, even you today. Maybe he don't want you to sacrifice your only son, but what about your life? In Romans chapter 12 and the verses number 1, the Bible said, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies, a living sacrifice. Have you considered that when you present your body to God, it's a test of faith? Well, how are you presenting your body to God? I mean, when you present your body to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, are you presenting your body to God to serve in his kingdom, to be an elder, be a deacon, to be a minister, or to be a great servant in the kingdom? Have you presented your body? Is your body presented to God as something that you're sacrificing? Or are you making sacrifices in your life? Or God are going to have to test your faith. Is a test of faith. What do you present? Ask yourself, what am I presenting to God? Am I doing anything? Are you serving God? Are you talking to people about the Lord? Are you sharing with others? What are you doing with your body? Have you presented your body to God? Listen to verse 3. He said, Abraham rose up early in the morning.
And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him.
Now notice, there was no questioning by Abraham. When God wants us to, when you're working for God, you want to serve him, there's no questioning God. When God say do something, we just do it. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do. When God say do something, we just do it. God, no, Abraham didn't ask questions. God said do it, and Abraham moved. Now, why would you ask questions? Someone say, what must I do to be saved? That's a question. If you get the answer to the question is, Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Anyone who want to be saved would have to ask God, why I got to be baptized? Because he just told him. He just said, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38 said baptism for the remission of sin. If this is something you got to do because God said do it.
Amen.
Listen to verse 3. Abraham rose up. Notice.
Then on the third day.
Early in the morning. Go back to verse 3.
Verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning.
He was in the
morning. And saddled his ass.
He moved in the morning, saddled his ass.
And took two of his young men with him.
Took two men with him.
And Isaac his son.
Isaac's son.
And clave the wood for the burnt offering.
Uh-huh.
And rose up.
Uh-huh.
And went into the place
and
of which God had told him.
Now he did what God told him. He made the sacrifice. He took his son just like God told him. He took him to the place God told him. So what is Abraham doing? Abraham, he's moving because God said what?
Move.
So that's what happens when you're a man or woman of faith. When we look at God and whatever God say do, that's what we do. Amen. Listen to verse 4. Then on the third day,
Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off.
Yeah, the third day after traveling, two young men and that lad and his son, he gets to a place from afar off, he can see it. But notice it was on the third day. That's going to come back later on toward the end of the sermon.
And Abraham said unto his young men.
And he talked to these young men.
Abide you here with the ass.
Uh-huh.
And I and the lad will go yonder and worship.
Now,
and come again unto you.
And tell me he was going to take him and his son to worship. Now when he was going on their way to worship, they wasn't worshiping. They were serving God. He was making a sacrifice. When he got to the place, he had to go to the up into the mountain to place the altar so he could worship. So how many men are taking their sons to worship? This is very important to know that he had his son. He knew he had to make a sacrifice. And as fathers, we ought to be bringing our sons to worship. Yeah, that's what Abraham did. What are we doing? We trying to look at Abraham's faith. How he was tested. He took his son and he said, you go here. Watch this now. Look at how he said it. The lad and I will go yonder. Notice what he said at the end of it. Of that
and
verse.
Worship.
And do what?
And come again to you.
Now, he know, he's been told he got to make a sacrifice. I mean, you got to kill your son. But Abraham already believed that God is going to make a way for him to come back to them. You see that? He's already speaking of the man of faith. He believed God. He don't know how. And I don't know where you are in your life. But a lot of things be going on. You don't know how it's going to get it fixed. But you know this. You know this. God going to fix it some kind of way, don't you?
Amen.
That's what men and women of faith do. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen with our children. We don't know what's going to happen going on in our lives. And Brother Stroud done a wonderful job teaching us not to worry about the worst outcome. That's worrying, and it's just sinful. And so we just try. He didn't think about the outcome being bad. He said, we coming back. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I want that kind of faith. Faith like Abraham had. Faith that Abraham understood. He's passing this test of faith. He believes God is able to do something. He don't know how he's going to do it, but he still believes it. How many of y'all believe like that? Amen. That's how you got to live your life. Look at him. Now, the Hebrew writer said, accounting that God was able. The reason he was okay. He knew God was able. He knew God was able to do that. Look at it. Because he moved. And if you got something going on in your life this morning, this will help you move. You move when God tell you to move. Make a sacrifice like God tell you and be at the place that God tell you. I'm going to come back to that. Keep coming back to that place. Amen. Let's go to Genesis 22:6. I feel like I'm still rushing.
And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it down upon Isaac, his son.
Yeah.
And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
Now Isaac has got his faith somewhat in the father. And Abraham got an answer that he don't know. He's never looking at that. You know, he used to setting up altars and burnt offerings. And this is how they worship back then. Kind of like we come here, that's something we used to. But in this case, Isaac, go there and be Isaac just for a minute. He said, Isaac, see, he said, got the wood. We got the offering. The wood for the burnt offering. We laid it up on Isaac's son. So his father's putting the wood on him. He know what this means. And he said, now he took the fire in his hand and a knife. This is his dad. And they went both together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham. He said, Dad, no. My father, he said, here I am. I'm your son. But look, there's a fire. There's wood. But where is, there's no lamb. He was used to being the one laying on that table. There's no lamb for burnt off. So wait a minute. So maybe we ought to talk to the Isaacs and the fathers in the room. See, a father, sometimes your children can be stressing or going through some things, asking questions. What's happening with their lives? What's going on? And they don't understand quite of everything, that they need to know. So a good father got to be able to handle tough situations. That's how we raise our children. Right? Amen. That's why how we raise them, to be the kind of men and women we want them to be in the Lord, and to kind of have the faith. And so they see, he know his dad has set this impression upon him. He understands that he, what kind of father he has, obviously, because he said, my father, Abraham, which was a respectful way to respond to his dad. And he said, I'm here. But where is that lamb? Well, maybe there's somebody who haven't been there for you, for a father to your child, that gonna have this kind of trust in you. So it's a good time to talk about fathers for you, for all of us as fathers. It's important for us to be there for our children, be there when they need us, be there at time growing up. That's why it's important to raise your children and nurture the admonition of the Lord. Would y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
But you know, every child needs a good father. Amen. He need a good father. You say, well, Brother Brooks, I haven't been there for my child. Maybe this lesson is for you then. Maybe God is testing you now. Maybe you're up against this test. Why don't you go out there and get your son? Why don't you go out there and develop a relationship with him? No, you haven't been as close as you should have been to your boy. You know he's your child. You know he out there. You know he needs you. You ever thought about going to get him? Try to build a relationship for his everlasting, and turn it too late. It may be that you'll save your son. You haven't had a relationship with him. He hasn't been able to call on you and say, here I am, Dad. What's going on with my life? But it's never too late to change. Don't we know that? Maybe you were partying. Maybe you out there chasing the dollar, whatever you were doing then. You wasn't there for your boy. Now, it's not too late to go back and be there for your son. You need to do that. This is right. You can say amen. It's right. It's right. It's right. If you just think about what I'm saying, it's right. It's never too late to go and build a relationship. It may be that relationship that saves your child's soul. Mm-hmm. It's your boy. How you going to live with yourself if you wasn't the kind of father you should have been? Amen. See, so what he said, what is this lesson all about? Maybe this is not about Abraham. Maybe God, this lesson is for you. It's about you and your life and your son and what kind of relationship you have. You might have been that kind of man that was in the streets one time, out there partying, drinking, and living it up. But this morning, you can make a change. You can make a change. It's never too late to make a change. If somebody come to you and tell you something about yourself, you got to look in the mirror. The mirror is the word of God. You know, if you can't see wrong in your own life, and when somebody pointed out and you can't see it, that's a lack of humility. That's a lack of someone who don't want to know what's right. Amen. But when you look in there and your wife then told you something that you need to change, your husband then told you something you need to change, amen. You got to think about that. You got to think about that. You got to take and listen. Be swift to hear. Amen. The word of God speaks to you through the scripture as well. You know, if you don't have an ear to hear, you cannot be saved. You got to hear. Nobody's perfect. Amen. You got, also, when you know you got to hear, you got to be able to look at yourself. When you got five or six people telling you the same thing, you ain't right. Something wrong. Now, this is good. All of us need, just like some Isaacs in the room, who have a father like Abraham. He's been there for you. He's been doing everything he could to be the best father he could to you, but yet you are not allowing him to be. You're still rebelling. You're not being the kind of son as Isaac being. Son Isaac was submissive to his father. And maybe you're that son that's rebelling. You're not listening to your dad. It's not that your dad hadn't been there for you. It's not that he hadn't done everything he could to raise you up to be a good man. And he showed you how to work. He showed you how to make money. He showed you how to take care of his house, how to take care of your wife. You saw all that in him when you was growing up. But now you're a rebellious son. Well, maybe there's Isaac in the room that's being tested this morning. God tempted Abraham. Is he tempting you? I'm going to talk about Sarah this afternoon. He did some things. He visited Sarah. He had to go talk to her. Sarah lied. Maybe some Sarahs in the room this morning. Yeah. But this morning I'm talking about Abraham. I'm talking about the father. So Isaac, I can just imagine what Isaac's thinking. What is going on here? Can't you? What is going on? Any of your fathers that came into your life right now? You ain't gonna admit it to me, are you? Now you wouldn't admit it to me, but you just did to God. Just like the person knowing that you know you got things in your life that you need to change, but you ain't willing to listen and change them, you're gonna lose your soul. Because confession is just simply admitting you're wrong. That's all it is. When you can't admit you are wrong, you will never come to repentance. Repentance requires humble-minded men and women who can say, brothers and sisters, I have sinned, and God, I have sinned before my Lord, and I'm sorry, and I ask you to forgive me. Amen. Let's go back to Genesis 22:7. Now watch this.
And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
And watch what happened.
And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together.
What was the father's answer? God will what?
Provide.
For the man or woman who passed the test of faith, all of us who be tempted by God, tested, our faith are tested. Gonna be some difficult times ahead. Always are. But the answer will always be for the man or woman of faith. I don't know how, but I know who. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? I know, no matter how difficult the situation is, if there's a need, God will what? Provide. That's the lesson here. There will always be an answer to the man and woman of faith that God will provide. Maybe somebody this morning, you're dealing with some things financially. You're in a financial bind, and you got to know that this financial situation you got yourself in could be a test of your faith. Do you know who's going to get you through it? Do you know who's going to provide for you? Do you know who's been providing for you? Have you lost sight of who put the clothes on your back and the food in your refrigerator? Amen. Mm-hmm. In the pantry. Who gave you the job before? Who did all that? Who was it? Y'all can answer. Who's nobody but God. So who's going to get you through this situation? God. Maybe it seems like every time you put one foot forward and you take two backwards. Maybe some things you got to look at. Maybe God putting you at a test in your faith. Are you too dependent in that job? You too dependent on other things? When you going to start depending on me? And maybe you're not going to ever get ahead because you don't ever put your faith in God. It's in other things. That's why you'll take two jobs on Sunday. And for those who may be listening, you'll do everything you can to try to provide for yourself rather than give God opportunity to provide for you. Somebody, you may be tired and sick. And you know, sickness, I learned that from my wife. You get tired from being sick all the time. I mean, maybe somebody listening today has been sick all the time. You're sick a lot. You're in and out of the hospitals. Oh, that's tiring. Yes, it is. It sure is tiring. I understand. But who's going to provide for you? Who's going to provide who's going to provide the doctors? Who's going to provide the nurses to you? Who's going to provide the caretakers to you? Who's going to provide for you? Who you going to trust in? What you going to do with it? You have to do like Abraham had to answer that, son. And his answer was, son, God will provide himself of what? Man. A lamb. God's going to take care of his children. He's going to take care of them. My question is, are you a child of God? Have you made your life, have you given your life to God so that you can be dependent on him? You can say, I know God, I've stepped out on faith, I've obeyed the gospel, and I know the Lord will provide for me. Sometimes we go through trials, man. People going through all kinds of trials. I mean, we get tested in the church. We get tested with things here at this congregation. It's a test of faith. How are we going to handle it? How are we going to deal with it? Will God provide? Are we worrying about the worst outcome is going to be? Some worst outcome? We've gone to the point of worrying so much that we're thinking the worst. Or do we know who provided? who provide us every day, who provided for us all our lives, who provided for me my 62 years, who did that? God did. All of us have to realize in our lives that we didn't do this. God did this. If we give God credit, that's men and women of faith. Amen. Maybe there's a single woman in here. You want your man. You want your man. Maybe you need to slow down. Slow down. Wait on the Lord. Don't rush in and jump into a marriage. You might mess around and jump into something. And next thing you know, a year from now, you're divorced. That's what happens to some people. Impatient. Yeah. You got to wait on the Lord. Let the Lord provide you a man that's going to be decent. And find a man in the Lord's church. That's the first place to start. Many of our sisters, the mistake you're making is going out there looking for a worldly man, trying to convert him to the Lord. He said, well, ain't no good brothers at the church. Well, you gotta put your faith in God to provide somebody in your path. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't just go grab the first thing you see. Amen. Am I talking all right this morning?
Amen.
Yeah, you know I'm telling the truth. It's sad when we see good Christian girls going out there getting these men, and these men are not trying to live for the Lord. Mm-hmm. You off to a bad start when you got a man that's not in the Lord. That's a bad story. That's marrying somebody hoping they change. That's a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. It, more likely, not going to change.
Amen.
And then, of course, you can get a man in the church, and he's a rascal too. And you might want to see it like that. Yeah, he's just in the church. That don't mean he's trying to live right or do right. You want to also get to know him. Know he's trying to live right and do right. Let him see how he gonna do you when you court. No way to get married. See how he do you. No, that's rushing. Get to know him enough. Know him. It's easy faith for the morning service, evening service. Go to Bible class. Do you study the Bible with you? I'm talking about how you test a man. Yeah. Do he pray? Do he pray with you? Do he study with you? Do he talk about the Lord? Or are you talking about some of the rappers out there? What kind of music you listening to? Tell you a lot about the man. Just go the other way. Brothers, I know, you want you a good woman. You ought to get a good woman in the Lord. Is that right?
Amen.
Brothers ought to say amen. Yeah. Get a good woman in the Lord. A good woman in the Lord gonna be faithful. She gonna be faithful to her Lord. She gonna be faithful to services. She gonna be faithful to Bible class. She gonna give her life to the Lord. She gonna be asking you to go to church with her. Come worship with me. Yeah. Amen. And somebody got a boyfriend, a girlfriend outside the Lord. Now you ain't liking what I'm saying. You said, well, I don't say it for you to like it. I say it for you to think about. I'm saying it for you to think about. You do what you want to do. Now you're going to do that anyway. But as a man of God, I got to say, look here, there are some situations that God, if you turn your life over to God, make a living sacrifice to him, he'll provide things to you that you need. That's what I believe.
Amen.
So let me close it like this. Go to verse 9.
And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood.
Now, if you're ready to walk by faith, you have to come to the place. If you want to be saved, you got to go to the place to be saved. You understand? I said, talking about that place. Notice here, and they came to the place. That God had what?
Had told him of.
So, there is one place that you can offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. That's in the church. Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour coming now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for what? The Father seeketh such to what?
Worship him.
So the church is the place where to begin your life with the Lord. And the saved are in the church. Acts 2:47, praising God, having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the saved people are in the church. That's where the saved people are. And not just any church, no. There's only one church in this Bible, and the church in this Bible referred to as the Church of Christ. Now that's where you're worshiping at this morning. Among this place here, these are where Church of Christ people are at, right here. We sing without the help of mechanical instruments music. We pray. We give. Men will do the preaching, not women. If you're the building where a woman's preaching, that's not the place. That's not the place. God, the place of men gonna be preachers in the Lord's church. They gonna take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You got a building that don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? That's not the place. It's not the place. He went to the place to worship. And that's, the place was very specific where he had to go. And the only people can worship in spirit and in truth, according to Jesus there in John 4:23, are those that are in the church, those who are true worshipers. There are false worshipers as well. Matthew 15:8. These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He said, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So there's a such thing as a vain worship, and then there's a true worship. Now that's a test of faith. What do you believe? What do you believe, and where did it come from? Where, how do God test our faith? This book, faith coming by Romans 10:17. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. People say they believe in Jesus, then that your development of faith in Jesus should have came from this book. It should have came from the book. That's our development of faith that came from reading. You wasn't in Jerusalem. I wasn't there. None of us saw Jesus get killed. None of us saw him be crucified, but yet we say we believe in Jesus. Well, then you believe in Jesus. It came from the same book. And you got, if to believe in Jesus, you then must believe in one church. Why is that? It's in the same book.
Amen.
Now, let me get this close. Verse 9, and they came to a place God had told them.
And Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order. Bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood.
Now he's at the point to make the sacrifice. Everything's set up. Abraham stretched forth his hand.
Took the knife to slay his son.
So Isaac's laying there. He must come to reality. He's bound. He can't move. That his daddy finna kill him. I'm the sacrifice. Bible doesn't reveal him what was going through his mind at the time. But it was Abraham's trial. Remember that. It was Abraham's trial. Abraham tempted God. It wasn't Isaac's trial. So in this case, Abraham, when he was tested, Abraham went the place God told him. Abraham built the altar like God told him. Abraham laid the wood in order. Abraham bound Isaac. Abraham laid Isaac on the altar. Abraham stretched forth his hand, and Abraham took the knife and getting ready to slay. So maybe he drew the knife back. He was getting ready to do what he knew he had to do. Remember, though, when he was at the bottom of the mountain, he told them, me and my boy, gonna come again. Y'all remember that? So here's Abraham moving without knowing how God was going to do what he's going to do. And look at how God worked in his life. In Genesis 22:11, the angel of the Lord called out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am.
And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad.
Don't hurt him.
Neither do anything unto him, for I know thou fearest God.
You passed the test. I know. What was the test? I know that thou what?
Fearest God.
Y'all remember what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:13? He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Watch this. He said, we are to fear God and keep his commandments. Watch this. For this is the whole duty of man. Our whole faith system is built on fearing God and keeping his commandment. That's not running around thinking God's going to hit you with a lightning bolt, but fear and respect him enough to do exactly what he said the way he did it. And so that's what God, that's how he passed this test here. Notice he said that God know that he fears God and that he has not withheld that son, the only son from me. Verse 13.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son.
Well, what a relief that must have been to him. Yeah. Well, what a relief. You know, I got to take my child out. But I know God some kind of way is going to help me out here. How many of y'all been relieved how many of y'all been to see where you said, man, only God could have brought me through that? Anybody here like that? You know, somehow we don't like to give testimonies and things. Well, I can tell you, see, when I said, well, nothing but God. Nothing but God could have got me through that. Nothing but God could have provided for me at that time when I needed him, what he did, and the way he did, and the way God moved. And ain't God good? Ain't God amazing how he can move in a way at a time you need him the most, and you can't do nothing but say that wasn't nothing but God? And I'm so thankful that I serve a good God. You just say, I love my God. My God has been good to me. God, you start just praising him, amen. You just praise him because you know God did this. I know God brought me through this. I didn't know why I was going to do it, but I was trusting God would get me through it. I knew I was sick. I thought I was going to die, but I didn't know. But boy, I know God brought me off that sick bed. God was the one brought me home. God was the one gave me that transplant. God was the one got me up walking again after I had a stroke. God was the one God brought me home. It was him. I thought I was going to lose my house. I thought I was going to lose my car. But boy, I didn't know how I was going to do it. But God came through for me. Am I right about it? Somebody ought to love God this morning because God been taking care of you. You always a whole lot of times when you didn't know how you're going to make it, but God came through for you.
Yes, he did.
He came through. I know God come through. Time when I was down, didn't know how I was going to get up. God came through with somebody. He came through some kind of way. He brings people in your life at the time you need them. God can help you get through. Well, I'm appealing to somebody today. I'm appealing to somebody today. No, God is tempting you. He's tempting you to give him your life that he can take care of you. That's what he want to do. God want to be there. He want to be number one. He don't want to be number two. God be one. How many of y'all put God first in your life? Jesus said, seek ye first. Who? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. God would add all these other things to him. In closing, Abraham, did he pass the test?
Yeah.
Are you passing yours? Did I say something to touch you this morning?
Amen.
Yeah, who the Abrahams in here? The leaders ought to be in Abraham's state of mind, leadership. People who are in the lead. Preachers and ministers and elders and deacons. Those who are going to be serving in the ministry. You ought to have the Abrahams at the church. Yeah. Gonna have some Isaacs coming up too. Little Isaac, we need to raise him up, raise him up. How are we gonna raise him up? Gotta be an example for him. Be an example for him, raise him up. Cause they're gonna get tried. They're gonna get tested. But Abraham passed that test, didn't he? And there was a ram in the thicket. God's got a ram in the bush for you. I don't know. Somebody need this. Somebody, ain't no doubt in my mind. It might not be you. Maybe you ain't feeling nothing for, but somebody going through something.
Amen.
And I'm just saying to that person, what I want you to do this. I want you to do this. Just know it's a test of your faith. And just say, I know God is able. Here's what happened. Hebrews 11:17. The Hebrew writers told us why Abraham passed the test. Everybody go there, and that'll be the last verse I give you. Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham,
when he was tried,
yeah,
offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son,
mm-hmm,
of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. According that God was able to raise him up.
Here's the answer. Here's the answer. The reason Abraham passed the test, the Hebrew writer says, accounting that God
was able
to who?
To raise him up
from the dead. That's why he told that lad, we gonna come back. Cause he knew even if he killed him, God was able to raise him back up. You see that? Y'all see it now, don't you? The Hebrew writer tells us the answer to the question is that, did he pass the test? Yes. And he said, because Abraham, when his faith was tried, he passed this test because he knew God was able.
Amen.
If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you need to be a Christian in your life or you're going to get a whole lot of tests. You're going to have a whole lot of trials. It's going to be a lot of things going on in your life. But you need to know God is going to be there for you. You need to know God is able. You need to count that he's able to take care of you. Amen? So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, know this, that God gave his lamb. He sacrificed his only son, Abraham. And that story of Abraham shows the same story as Father and the Son, God the Father, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent out his son into this world, condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. When Jesus came to the world, John looked at him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Remember, God put a lamb in the bush. And the lamb for us was Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, lived among men, he walked among men. He did good things. He blessed people's lives. But here's what we need to know about Jesus. He gave his own life. He made a sacrifice based on his Father's will. After he left the garden, he asked God, let this cup pass. He went through trials. He was beaten. He would spit upon and mocked. Yet he went. He was being tested. Yet he made it. He made it to the hill of Calvary. And there he drove the nails in his hand. They drove the nails in his hand and his feet. It was the place that he was at was Calvary. It was on Calvary Hill that Jesus would hang with nails in his feet and in his hand. And he hung there for us so God could be our God. Isn't that good? He hung there in blood. He was bleeding. He was suffering. Yes, he did. And when they took him down off the cross, they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And early on a Sunday morning, that third day, that's what we're talking about. Just like the third day for Abraham, it was the third day for Jesus. The third day he resurrected with all power, and he gave the command called the Great Commission. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's Matthew 28:18. And then Mark 16:15, the Great Commission again by Jesus, to give the order from Jesus himself. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and is, what? Baptized shall be saved. So that's what you got to do. You got to believe in that Jesus that hung, bled, and died, suffered on that cross for you. Believe that with all of your heart. Acts 15 and verse 7. You hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Repent of your sin. Luke 13:3-5. Matthew 10:32. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then after that, you got to be baptized for the remission of sin. Acts 2 and verse 38. When you're baptized for the remission of sin, you'll contact the blood of Jesus according to Revelation 1 and verse 5. That blood will wash away your sins. And then the Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible that is the church of Christ. That's if you obey right. If you do it right, you've been taught right, then you'll end up at the right place. What is the right place? The one church. Which church is it? Church of Christ. How you know? The Bible. What you believe? Bible. How you know about Abraham? Bible. How we know about Isaac? Bible. How we know about Jesus? Bible. How we know about the church? Bible. It's in the Bible. So if you want to respond and you need the Lord, and maybe you've been tested, maybe you've been going through some things, this lesson has been for you. When you come, if you need prayer, we want you to come. If you need to be baptized, we got the water and everything we need here to do it. Or if you listen to us out there on a conference call, hit 5-star on your phone or on Facebook or YouTube. Go ahead and leave a comment. We'll make sure we respond to you. Get you baptized no matter where you are in the listening audience. If you need to make a confession, hit 5-star. If you need to do it here at the place, go ahead and stand where you are. Walk down the aisle as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.